This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
First Things, an examination of Genesis 1-11. Session 11, The First Creatures. Genesis 1, verses 20-23. This session first published December 3, 2023. Verse 20 of our text begins a progressive creation of living beings. Note the order in which these beings are brought into existence. We begin with our passage for this session, verses 20-23. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the expanse of the heavens." And God created the sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. First, the water-dwelling creatures, including reptiles, then those that fly in the expanse. After that, land animals are created, followed by human beings that will have dominion over all the other living beings. Look at verse 24. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. Now verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, so that they will have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. After setting the stage in the second to fourth days, in a span of two more days, God, that is Elohim, will populate this globe. He now, in this fifth day, creates the water-dwelling and sky-dwelling living creatures, or souls. The word creatures is living creatures is souls, in advance of the land-dwelling animals and human beings in the sixth day. Before digging into the text of this passage, we should pause to note the subtle differences in the creative steps of our God. Before we do, let us affirm that no other being or thing or accidental calamity created anything but the sovereign Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, is responsible for it all. But as we see and will see in the text, this sovereign creation came about by various means. Let's return for a moment to day three. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. Now note, God said, but then, "Let the earth sprout vegetation." Now, look at two similar statements. The first in verse 20. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth." And a similar statement in verse 24. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind." So, in all three of these, we do not have God saying, "Let it be." He involves some what we would term a natural element to have a hand in it. In these three, God commands something to occur, but seems to involve the elements of water or earth in the creative process. Now, back up to verse 12. Each of these creative acts are followed by a further reiterating comment. Verse 12 seems to emphasize the earth's contribution with, "And the earth brought forth vegetation." While verse 21 and 25 reinforce God's sovereign hand with, "And God created," and "God made," respectively. Leupold writes, "God could have called forth these creatures by his mere word. Instead, he speaks the word that enables the earth to bring them forth." Now, verse 20. "Then God said, 'Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the expanse of the heavens.'" First, the King James Version erroneously translates the beginning of this verse with, "And God said, 'Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life,' as if it is, again, the water itself creating the living creatures, or at least God is creating it out of the water. Our other translations correctly express the original text, which reads, "Then God said, 'Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures.'" When God made humans, he made first a solitary male, then a companion female. Hence, a couple, a reproducing pair from which the rest of humanity would spring. But with the beasties, the text makes clear that God makes a swarm of swarming things. The verb sharatz is a root meaning to teem, to breed abundantly, increase greatly, populate abundantly. The noun form, sharetz, is translated swarmers, swarming things, insects, swarming thing, teeming life, teeming things. We get the picture from that. Likewise, the birds were created in the same manner and in similar numbers. These, in the water and in the air, are life forms that love to move in continual agitation through one another, like shoals of fish. And this instinct marks these creatures to this day. Beneath the waves, we find vast schools of fish moving together as one. Likewise, in the air, flocks of birds can move in sweeping turns as if guided by a master intelligence. They move, both intermingling and as a unit, as if controlled by something else. Living creatures translates nefesh, which means a soul, a breathing, living being. Not soul as it is in humans, but here just affirming that these are living creatures as opposed to plants and rocks, etc. We may, in our modern vernacular, refer to living plants, like we buy a living Christmas tree at Christmas time, but the biblical viewpoint is that plants have no life. They don't breathe. They don't inhale and exhale. They don't have the spirit in them, and they do not even have wind in them. They just are. Here, the first time that nefesh, soul, is used, is regarded as nothing more than referring to that which breathes in any being. So we're not talking about souls that will go to heaven necessarily. We're just saying they breathe, they have life. Most commentators seem to agree that these two groups would include insects and reptiles. The latter, sometimes referred to as saurians, S-A-U-R-I-A, R-I-A-N-S, saurians, which is a suborder, sauria, of reptiles, including the lizards, and in older classifications, the crocodiles and various extinct forms such as the dinosaurs and ichthyosaurs that resemble lizards. And here's an example from the Smithsonian Magazine of them using this. During the Great Age of Reptiles, when dinosaurs ruled the land, there were also fantastic saurian in the seas. Now we'll discuss this further in a bit. In other words, by the end of day 5 and the beginning of day 6, God will have created all species of non-human life for the earth. Which brings us to verse 21. Verse 21, "And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good." Verse 21 recapitulates verse 20, but also adds some new information. "And God created the great sea monsters." Along with fish of every shape and kind and other aquatic creatures, God made the tanamin, plural for tanin, which is translated venomous serpent, devouring dragon, sea monster. The same word is used to describe the serpent Moses threw down before the Pharaoh, and is always used in an evil, threatening context, such as elsewhere in the Pentateuch. Turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, a vivid narration. "Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this, for their vine is from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents and the deadly poison of cobras." Now that verb, that word serpents, that's our word. Same word translated sea monsters in our text. It's also associated with Rahab, Babylon, and Leviathan during the end times. Isaiah 27:1, "In that day Yahweh will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea." Isaiah 27:1. The King James Version translates this whales, and I have no doubt that whales would be included in this term, but as I've shown, it goes far beyond just a gentle but massive whale. I personally subscribe to the position that God made the sea and land monsters, which would include all manner of dinosaurs, along with all the rest. This means that they walked the earth and swam the seas, along with early man, but ultimately died out as a species earlier than others. Remember what David Guzik wrote regarding the theory that the dinosaurs lived and died out long before the first man. Here's David Guzik. "Whatever merit the gap theory may have, it cannot explain the extinction and fossilization of ancient animals. The Bible says plainly, death came by Adam, Romans 5:12. And since fossils are the result of death, they could not have happened before Adam's time." Now verse 21 continues, "And every living creature that moves." At this point in the creation narrative, that would have to include any sea-going dinosaurs. "And every winged bird after its kind." In verse 20, it says that the birds fly above the earth across the face of the expanse of the heavens. That's just a rather poetic way to say that when birds are flying, they do so in the expanse of the first heaven described in verses 6 to 8. The face of that first heaven is turned down toward the earth, and that is the domain of the birds that fly. Remember, almost, perhaps all, but I don't want to stretch it, almost all of this is from the perspective of Earth's surface, as described here. The face. Well, if you're standing on the surface of the earth, what is the face of the heavens? It's the first heaven, the atmosphere immediately above the earth. That's the face of the expanse, or the face of the heavens. And that's where the birds fly. Once again, many of us take for granted the winged creatures that fly in the sky. Not just birds as we think of them, but all winged creatures. Bats, insects, even pterodactyls, large winged reptiles now extinct. These are a brand new type of being. Creatures that breathe and are animated and have power on their own volition to go from place to place. Now verse 22. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Here we have the first recorded blessing of God bestowed on any other being. He does so to empower the commandment he gives them. He's not just being nice. He's not just being polite. This is an empowering command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Here's how Leupold explains it. From these copious beginnings, these creatures are to keep on multiplying until they fill the earth. Every vestige of emptiness is to be ultimately canceled. This blessing of God, however, is not a mere wish or a wishing well on the part of the Almighty. It is a creative word of power, which makes possible the things that it commands. And it continues in power to this day. The Creator is glorified by the multitudes of beings which His creative world makes. Verse 23 closes this fifth day with the now standard line, "And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day." By the end of day 5, the earth is populated with living, breathing beings. The oceans, lakes, and streams are populated with fish and creatures of myriad kinds, some beautiful, some horrific. Remember, fish breathe as well as birds and other animals. They just do it through the water. Likewise, the sky above the earth's surface is now filled with flying creatures of all sorts, some beautiful, some downright irritating. God continues piecing together this brand new world, and in the next and last day of creation, He will complete it with beasts that roam the earth, including perhaps the most fearsome beast of all, man.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2023 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared with others. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible Studies section of our website at dlample.com. This website also includes our monthly devotional, Reflections by the Pond, as well as archives of our devotional publications from the last 33 years. All of our His Company Christian drama resources are now available at dlample.com as well. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture in this audio file is from the Legacy Standard Bible, copyright the Lachman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek-Hebrew Dictionary. All resources are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.